how do we handle our hormones? This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with Instant Illumination. How do we handle our hormones? And we watched the movie Don Juan DeMarco, and here was this young man in the movie. Obviously, it's a story, maybe true, maybe false, doesn't matter, but the writers had a great time writing it. And in there, Don Juan was a young 21-year-old boy and under, and wherever he walked, he had such a deep love and respect for women. He just loved women, not in any unhappy way, but just loved women. And women felt that love and immediately twittered when he went by. And they just couldn't help but feel something special was happening. Now, there are people in our life who twitter us, and we don't know what they're doing. And when they twitter us in a happy way, that's okay. And when they twitter us to liking ourselves and to feeling it's a wonderful world and to feeling that we're very wonderful people, that's beautiful. But when people twitter us or press our buttons to make us feel that they are our master, who needs that? To make us feel that we have needs that are unmet, that is not necessarily a good idea. To make us, do you know how many twitterers there are in this world? I'll tell you, too many. You turn on the television and you're being twitterfated by advertisers constantly. They're saying, buy a new car, look at this car, look at all the, you sit in the car and you just say, my name is Ellen, and the car immediately adjusts to your seat, immediately adjusts to your level, immediately turns on, immediately turns to your favorite music station or your music tape or whatever, immediately warms up the seat to exactly the temperature that you like it to be, immediately does everything. And the newer cars, and they're coming, you'll say Campo, and it'll drive you into Campo and drive you properly without any danger to you at all, or the car, and so on. Now, doesn't sound exciting? And then I say to Ellen, got a new drug here. It's no side effects whatsoever. And you take this drug, and you just take one pill, and instantly you will do and be wherever you want to be. You say, I want to be visiting my grandchildren in Lugano, and I want to wear the proper outfit for it. I want a new dress, a new shawl, a new stole, a new pair of shoes, and a new handbag, you know. I don't care what's in it, you know. It doesn't have to be anything. And then I want to be there. And so, click, you're there. No click, you're just there. You took the pill. And you're wearing the clothing that you chose. You are being the person you chose. And your children have just gotten up from sleeping, your grandchildren and your children. And you, of course, are filled with pep and vinegar. And so you go visiting them, and so you have a nice full day with them. And busy. You play tennis with them. You run around everywhere. You get on your Segway, and you cruise here and there. You just have a great old time. And then after that, your son says, Mom, come on over. Well, here it is, 8 o'clock at night, and you've already had a full day, and you're filled with piss and vinegar. You know, you've just got everything going for you. So you go over to your son's house, and you think to yourself, oh, I think I'd like to wear my black outfit, or a black outfit. I'd like to have a really slinky black outfit with just a little bit beneath the knees, you know, and sort of a cocktail-type dress. And I'd like to have my shoes sort of not patent leather, but buff leather, so that it just sort of blends with everything. And, Mom, should I pick you up? No. I'm almost there. I'm almost there. And Mom wouldn't have to say that. And so, poof, there she is there. She's not only at their front door, she's in the living room. And she's sitting on a chair in the living room with a cocktail in her hand, you know, shrimp cocktail or something like that, you know. And so she's sitting there, And they don't think it's strange that she's all of a sudden there in her house, because it's the most natural thing in the world. Hello, Mom. You have a good day today with the Arnoldis? And she says, yeah, they're great. But, Giacomo, what did you do today? You know, and Diego and Lorenza, what's her name?
Veronica,
what did you do today? You know, what sort of things that you guys were doing, you know? And she keeps turning it back to them, because she wants to give them that idea. Now, that's a button. That could be a very big button that gets pushed when you have the pill that's available to make yourself invisible or make yourself... Here, don't stumble there, Ellen. And you make yourself visible everywhere to anything you want and invisible to what you don't want. Now, that could be a very tough button. Because now, if I hypnotize you and tell you that you're doing these things, you do them. And then I unhypnotize you and you say, I don't believe I did it. I said, I don't care whether you believe it or not. You did. But you see, then you'd say, oh, Herb, do that again. That must have been fun. You know, you don't even know what you did. That must have been fun. And you see, those are buttons. And we want to learn always to be master of our own buttons. In the Samantha and I Love Jeannie and Bewitched shows and all that sort of stuff and Hogan's Heroes, what is the theme of the whole thing? The theme is they do it their way. Nobody can push their buttons. For a moment they might, but not long. And the minute Samantha sees something going cockeyed in her world, what does she do?
She puts it in order.
What does she do? What does she do?
She wiggles her nose.
She says, Mother, what are you doing? Mm-hmm. You see, she knows who's pushing her button. Yeah, if she did it, she can wiggle her nose. If she was in charge, she could wiggle her nose and do those things. And then that's part of the script, you know. Mm-hmm. But whenever it is something pushing her button, she usually calls her mother or Dr. Bombay or other crazy beings, you know. But what is she doing? She is immediately taking control of the situation. It is not an insoluble situation, not something that cannot be handled. It is just something that she has to take control of and do be in control of. Now, each of us are faced with these dilemmas all the time. And what happens when we're faced with these dilemmas? Do we immediately say, Mother! Or do we immediately go to whoever we think is pushing the buttons? Or do we say, hey, I don't know who's pushing my button, but no way. No way. I am not going to be a pawn to someone else's choices, you know. No way. And so you just do not allow it to happen. But what if a really strong, a really heavy hypnotic situation? Well, you have allowed yourself to build up to allow that heavy hypnotic situation over a period of time. Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice? You know, all these wouldn't it be nice things, those are letting yourself be building up in that hypnotic situation where somebody else can manipulate you. It's silly. So we want to always be in charge. The minute we ever say, wouldn't it be nice, we're a liar. Why? Tell me. It is already done. There's no wouldn't it be nice about anything, is there? Because if you can think of something, it's already done. Now, what is your phrase? It is done. That's what your phrase is. Your phrase is, it is done. Not wouldn't it be nice, but it is done. Wouldn't it be nice allow somebody else to push your buttons? And it is done means you're the master of your world, of your experiences, and of everything. Kind of exciting, isn't it? Mm-hmm. Now, are you willing, able, and ready to take that responsibility? You can, but you can only take it if you are absolutely in charge. Right?
Right.
Now, are you absolutely in charge? Now, why didn't Ellen have the phone lying right here on the and the table next to her place, when she knows that she's She points to the table behind her. I had it on the table behind me. No, you always have it right, like a knife and fork, right next to your place, like a knife and fork. Why? So you can instantly pick it up and shut it up, and then go in the corner if you want and say hi, but whatever. But if Ellen really loved me, I sometimes wonder to think she doesn't really love me. If Ellen really loved me, Ellen would say, during our meal time and during our talk time, there are no telephone calls. Or, all telephone calls come as soon as we are done with our talks. Now, that's a more positive way, you know.
Yeah.
All telephone calls come as soon as we're... Not that they shouldn't come, but they come as soon as we're done with our talks or whatever it is we're doing together. Now, Ellen could also goof up. And she could create a telephone call coming right while she's got a big tray of dishes in her hands, both hands full, and so forth. And then she's got to drop them and get the phone. Now, why would she do that? Have you ever done that? Oh, see, she doesn't mess up there. She doesn't mess up there. Now, that's important. She doesn't mess up there because she does not create herself getting a phone call right while she's in the middle of lifting a big tray of dishes or something. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, she can be in full control of anyone calling during our meal time or during our talk time. All calls come in at a certain time.
All calls come at the perfect time.
Yeah, at the perfect time, yeah. Mm-hmm. Right while you're loaded with dishes.
And I'm free to answer.
Oh, and I'm free to answer. Sounds good. Didn't sound good?
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on anything?
No, thank you.
Okay. That gives us a little something to think about too, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I love you. I love you.
I love you.
I love you.